Welcome to Mission Woods Church, and this is our sermon for June 28th, Sunday, and we are glad to have you here. I'm Pastor John Murphy, and I want to let you know a couple things. One of the things that we've been talking about for the last few weeks is we have a Faith Life app, faithlife.com/Mission Woods Church. You can find us there, or you can download the app and it'll actually follow along during the sermon. It's pretty cool. You're going to see the slides here, but if you ever do come to our congregation, you're able to see it there, and it would show up on your phone. So it's a really cool app. It also leads you to our webpage and different things, announcements, and keeps you up to date with what's going on in our church. Today we're going to be looking at God and religion in the book of James. And so I want you to turn to that book, if you will. The book of James comes after the book of Hebrews. It's in the New Testament. And in our journey through James, we are going to see comparisons between our actions and our faith. Last week, I introduced to you the faith gauge that looks like this. And what you see here is a J that is aiming at a strong faith on that faith gauge. And so James, and then the strong faith, that is what we are aiming for and what we're trying to do. James is asking us to aim at that strong faith. And in so doing, the question arises, what is the evidence of a strong faith? I want you to keep that question in mind as we consider today's text. I chose a rather long section of scripture this week, but it all does fit together. It points us to who our God is and who we are as we seek to follow God. So let's pray before we read our text this morning. Please pray with me. Righteous, holy, sovereign God, you have loved us before we even knew of you. We seek to hear from you again this week, the eternal message from your word. Open your word to our hearts and minds as we seek to follow your Son Jesus, who proclaimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Show us the way, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture for today is James chapter 1, verses 12 through 27. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. James begins by referring to those who stand up under trial as blessed. Now, verse 12, we read, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Last week, our text began with verse 2, where James said, "Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds." And the reality is that trials will come in our lives. Verse 12 is a natural restatement of verse 2. And when those come, and when those trials come, and we endure, we persevere, we stand up under them, there is a promise of the crown of life. The source of many of our trials, this is where James illuminates for us, and the source of many of our trials being our own temptation. It's our own desires that lure us and entice us away from God, as it has been since the beginning. And when this desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, as it did in the Garden of Eden. And as we read in verse 15, desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Contrast that with verse 17. Verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." There is so much packed into this one verse. God, our Heavenly Father, gives us good and perfect gifts, but more than that is the statement, "with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I think of the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness, there is no shadow nor changing with thee." God is unchanging. The God who blessed, loved, and cared for you yesterday blesses, loves, and cares for you today, and will continue to do so tomorrow. More than that, he is the Father of lights. This phrase points to God as creator of all things, as it reminds us of that very first command that God ever gave, "Let there be light." And there was light. This same God, the creator of all things, has not changed. There is no variation or shadow in him. And our Heavenly Father is the one who has brought us forth, not because of our own work, not because we are perfect or good in ourselves. No, he has brought us forth by the word of truth, God's word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James doesn't say it here. He's speaking to an audience of Jewish Christians. But it's not a leap to say that the word of truth is our Lord Jesus. John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He says that in referring to Jesus in John 1. Jesus referred to himself as the truth. So we were brought forth, as James said in verse 18, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This is in 1 Peter 1:3. Through our Lord Jesus, God continues to lead us forth to be the people God created us to be. And that is a good and perfect gift. I want to talk about actions and words. I've said that James is aiming us toward a strong faith, a faith demonstrated by our actions. James writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The words that come from our mouth definitely reveal what's in our heart. And it's not always just the words, but the tone with which they come out. Quick to hear. You know, hearing isn't just the words spoken, but hearing what is being said. Sometimes people get all agitated by the words that someone has said, only to discover they actually agree with what was meant. Slow to speak. Take time. Time to understand what another is saying before you speak. You will use fewer words, and you will also save yourself the embarrassment of misunderstanding. And it makes the last one much easier to live by. Slow to anger. Our reactions are seldom products of righteousness. They tend to be self-centered and harsh. There is such a thing as godly anger, but it is seldom the product of our quick reaction. Our goal is to be meek. Our goal is to be humble. Remember, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This meekness comes from God's word living within us. James goes on to say, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, before he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he looks at." This is possibly one of my favorite verses in James. Most of us have come across those who profess to be Christian, but they're living their lives in a way that doesn't exactly promote Christianity. And then in verse 25, we get this promise. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Notice God's law is not a law of flaws, but it is perfect. Not a law of confinement, but a law of liberty. The one who perseveres here is acting on the word that is heard. And as that person acts on that law, they will be blessed in doing so. James closes with what pure religion is. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Religion that is pure and undefiled is marked by compassion and purity. Compassion for orphans and widows and all others that are afflicted in any way. And our own purity, unstained from a world that is full of all kinds of stains. So how do we keep ourselves unstained in a world so full of stains? We are all marred by sin. We see it so prevalent in our divisions, in our current culture. The Bible tells us that even our most righteous acts are filthy rags to God. See Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our hearts need to be changed from the heart of stone that is within us to a heart of flesh. We need to recognize that we fail to see again and again, that our worldly problems are not going to be solved by our worldly solutions. In a world where people decry the immoral treatment of individuals and races, it's ironic that they also decry any one source of morality. We fight for justice, and for what is right without any standard by which to gauge what is right and what is moral. Justice by popular opinion is no justice at all. Throughout history, we have seen the horrors of what happens when nations have been swept up in the popular thinking of the day. Since it was popular, it had to be right, and it led to the desecration and even deliberate execution of groups of people simply because they were different. If we are going to say that there is a definite right and wrong, we must define them by a moral law that is outside of ourselves. If there is such a moral law outside of ourselves, then there must be also a lawgiver. Yet this is precisely the opposite direction our popular culture wants to take us. And it is clear that we are seeing the results. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, "God made man in his own image, and man was quick to repay the favor." We believe, as Christians, that God created the world. It is God who said, "Let there be light," and it is God who is the Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. God is the one who illumines the word in our hearts so that we can be doers and not merely hearers of that word. Seeking after God, living in relationships with our God, through his Son Jesus, we cannot help but love as God loved. As we seek to see the things as God sees them, as we seek to see other people as God sees them, we will see all others on this journey here on earth as created in God's image. How could we help but love them? How can we help but love those who are created in God's image? It is of his own will that God brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 18. The light of God does not change. There is no shadow or variation of our God. So let us, as we are living in this world, as it's changing around us, let us trust in this light and that it is the light that we carry into the world. No matter how dark it may seem, we carry this light into the world. Let us live as children of the Father of lights, living out the word that has been illuminated in our hearts. This is how we will change the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come to you as the Father of lights, as the one who is able to bring about change in our world, God, as the moral lawgiver. We come to you and we recognize that you call us to relationship, not to a bunch of rules. So God, as we seek after you, may we have your eyes to see our brothers and sisters in this human race, no matter what their color, no matter what their opinion, no matter what their status, may we see them all as created in your image, fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, may we have the capacity to love them as you have loved them, to show them grace and compassion, understanding. May we be slow to anger and quick to listen. God, we ask that we might be good representatives of who you are, that we might carry our light into this dark world, that they may see our good works and not give us the praise, but give it all to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, if you have a prayer request, please email our church office at info@missionwoodschurch.org Or you can call and leave a message, 253-922-5555. Also, just a reminder, we are still doing our distance offering since we are not meeting. And you can send it to P.O. Box 296, Milton, Washington, 98354. Finally, our Bible study has started up again. We're doing it online. It's meeting on Thursday this week, 7 to 8:30, maybe to 9, depending on how the discussion goes. But you are welcome. They are studying the book of Galatians. And if you want more info, you can put info@missionwoodschurch.org and put the Bible study in the subject line, and we will get that to the correct person. I hope you have an amazing week this week, and may the light of Christ shine through you as you encounter others. May they see His love shining through you and give Him the glory. Amen.